And welcome back to your extended news at noon. Tracy Morgan, of course, continuing this hour together. So what we're going to talk about right now is something called oak wilt disease. And I have Calvin Norman on the phone with me from Penn State Extension. He's a forester and wildlife educator. And first of all, Calvin, thanks for joining me for a few minutes to talk about this.
Oh, yeah, no problem. I'm very happy to.
And the reason I wanted to do it is because in the past many years, of course, we had the ash beetle, and now I have a lot of dead ash in my yard, around the neighborhood, if you will. You know, you see some pine trees that for some reason have died off. And so when I heard of this, the oak wilt disease, I thought, uh-oh, is there something else going to come our way? So that's why I wanted to talk to you about this. And tell us where you're finding this. Well, first of all, tell us what this is that you're finding.
So oak wilt disease is the disease caused by a fungus whose Latin name is kind of long and I'm not really good at pronouncing.
That's all right.
And it kills oak trees. It kills red oaks. So that would be northern red oaks, black oaks, and pin oaks. It can also kill white oaks, but it really struggles to kill white oaks because white oaks have some properties that make it hard to kill from a fungus.
Okay. Well, when you get this kind of disease in a tree, is this a surprise to you? Is it something that you expect, or how does it develop?
It's not a surprise that trees get diseases. Trees, like everything, you know, get diseases and eventually die. This particular disease is, we believe it's not native to Pennsylvania. We believe it's from Central America or South America somewhere. It's unknown where it came from, so it is a surprise. Yeah, the origin's a little murky.
Well, how does that happen, though? Because when bugs come across, I get it, they can easily travel in boxes or cargo. People with diseases that they would carry, I mean, the physical human body is traveling from country to country. How does a disease in a tree go from country to country that's not even connected to the United States?
Yeah, that's a really great question. So with a fungus like this, it's kind of, there's a bunch of different ways it could get here. The most likely way it got here was either in a whole log that got shipped to the U.S. before without treatment, or in some pallet wood. You know, the wood pallets you see like at the back of the grocery store or out back of, a manufacturing place.
Right.
A lot of that wood doesn't get treated. So normally we like to see wood get heated up to like 200 degrees or given some fumigated with some chemicals that would kill any pests. And so if it's not treated, that wood can move around different diseases from all over the place.
And how does a tree disease spread? I mean, and we'll talk about this particular disease here in a moment, but when you're talking about a spread of a disease on trees, what's that mean? Again, I can picture people with something airborne or communicable or, you know, through saliva. How does a tree pass along a disease?
Yeah, that's a pretty broad question because, you know, we got hundreds of different diseases. But we'll look at oak wilt kind of specifically. So oak wilt is a fungus, and it produces spores. Some funguses are able to throw those spores into the air, and they're all around us all the time. And so those spores are just looking for somewhere to land and to make a home and to start infesting trees to create other funguses. Some other funguses need some kind of transport vector. So, you know, transport mean like an insect. So they'll jump on an insect that's going into a tree and infect the tree from there. So you see that with something like beech bark disease, which is a fungus and an insect working together to kill beech.
How does a tree recognize that it likes the fungus? And I say it that way because today if we're talking about oak wilt disease, we're not talking about maples, we're not talking about birch, we're not talking about pine, we're talking about oak. So does it just, is it attracted toward a certain breed of tree, if you will?
Yes. So some diseases are pretty particular about the tree that they'll infect. So oak wilt, like you said, infects oaks. But then we have other diseases like hypoxylon canker, which is a native fungus that attacks most species of hardwood in Pennsylvania. And I've seen them on everything from maples to oaks. And I've seen them on Japanese maples, on native maples. And they're just pretty broad spectrum. You know, they're just, diseases can be sometimes particular and sometimes generalist. There's not like a great reason why they go after one versus the other. Some, you know, really specialize and some don't. It's just kind of like with insects or, you know, with animals and how they, prey on things. Some are specialists, some are generalists. With the case of oak wilt, it's not really that specialist. Like, it will attack red oaks, black oaks, post oaks, white oaks, pin oaks. It's just going for oaks.
Yeah, but that's a lot of oak. That's a lot of oak. It's not like you're just giving me one category of oaks. I mean, that's a lot of trees. So you're finding this in Huntington County right now?
Yeah. So it's actually in most counties west of the Susquehanna is where we think it is. So it's been actually in Pennsylvania since the 1960s. It was first identified as a pest in the 1940s in Wisconsin, and it's also in Texas and in a couple other states. We're not really sure how it got into Pennsylvania or even how it got into Wisconsin. We just know it's here.
And if it's been around that long, then why are you looking at it particularly in Pennsylvania right now? I mean, when you're questioning how did it even get to Pennsylvania, I can see that as one answer.
Yeah.
But if it's been around since like the 60s, is it a surprise that all of a sudden now we're seeing it in Pennsylvania?
That's a really good question. And like, there's not a great answer to that. Climate change is, you know, probably playing a part in why it's becoming more of an issue now. As you know, the climate warms, and the fungus might do better in the climate now. We're also getting much better at recognizing and differentiating diseases in trees. So, you know, if you just see a dead tree, I mean, I've been out with like the state forest pathologist, and sometimes you look at a dead tree and you go, huh, I wonder what killed that. You know, it just takes a lot of time. You gotta like stop and really look at a tree and figure out what killed it, because if you just walk up to a tree and you're like, oh, it's dead, it could be any number of things that killed it. Like, it could be like a change in the water table, and all of a sudden the tree that did have a lot of water now has no water. You know, it could be a fungus that kills it. It could be carpenter ants. It could be a lightning strike. Take a lot of time to figure it out.
Do you have to take a cross-section of that tree to determine what you're referring to?
So with oak wilt, we like to sample a branch. So what happens is we'll cut off a branch, and then we'll send it into the Penn State Plant Disease Clinic, and they can actually scrape off the inner bark and scrape off that first layer of wood, put that into a culture, you know, like a petri dish with some stuff in there for the fungus to grow. You can actually grow that fungus in the lab, and that's how we really determine that an oak is infected with oak wilt.
So
but you can also look at them, and we figured out the symptoms of oak wilt.
Okay.
But the key is you've got to find a live tree that's dying from oak wilt to really identify it, because otherwise you'll just walk up on a tree, and it's just, you know, bare and dead, and you're like, ah. Could have been oak wilt, could have been anything. But when oak wilt kills a tree, what you usually see is you see a branch that's been damaged in a storm. So there's like a broken part of the branch is broken off. And then the leaves start to die around that branch. And they start to die in kind of a unique way, which is what tells us that it's oak wilt. So they die from the outside in. And so if you're looking at an oak leaf, like look at your hands, and like your fingertips start to die all the way back towards the center of your hand. And at the center of a leaf is what's called a midrift or a midvein, and that's the like kind of hard raised part of the leaf that moves fluids around the leaf, and that's the last part of the leaf to die. That is what that's what flags oak wilt.
That's a pretty good indicator. So how does this kill a tree? Is it the same kind of process? Because trees are famous for pumping that sugar up and down their trunk.
When I think of sugar pumping up and down trees, I think of, you know, sugar maple and maple syrup. But yeah, oaks do move, just like all trees, sugar up into the tree. And so what kills oaks with oak wilt is the fungus gets into the sapwood, and it prevents that movement of sugar, and so it slowly strangles the tree. Red oaks will die within usually 2 to 3 months of infection, and then white oaks have some physical properties that let them hang on for up to 7 years with an infection.
And if people don't know what we're talking about, because I just learned that fact a couple of years ago, and I found it so intriguing on how trees feed themselves, if you will. And can you talk about how the temperature, when the temperature gets to a certain level, you know, that goes up to the canopy of the tree and then it comes back down? Can you explain how a tree lives like that?
Yeah, yeah. In the spring, when trees decide to leaf out, there's an overall temperature threshold. So let's say 1,000 degrees. Like this oak, it needs to get to 1,000 degrees, and then it will start to leaf out. And so if you get, you know, a bunch of days that are 32 degrees, it's going to take a lot more time for that oak to start leafing out. But once it hits that 1,000 degrees, all of a sudden it starts to send sugar from the root system up into the branches. The branches start producing leaves, and then the leaves pop out. But when they decide to drop their leaves, they drop them based off the amount of sunlight. And so as we get into fall, you know, we get less and less sunlight, and then the trees take the sugar and nutrients out of the leaves, because those leaves are packed full of sugar and nutrients. And it's like, okay, I'm going to cut these things off, but, you know, it's like you're moving. You know, you want to take everything good out of the house before you leave the house. Hmm. So they take everything good, and they send it down to the roots. They lose, you know, they stop holding on to the leaves.
So the oak wilt is breaking that cycle. It's preventing that cycle.
Yeah, well, so for a leaf to function, it needs water. Water is a key part of photosynthesis, and the oak wilt stops water from getting up into the leaves, and it stops the nutrients, you know, nutrients going up to those leaves, and that's why branches slowly start to die. And so you'll see an oak wilt, like the first branch that gets infected is the first one to die, and then as the fungus gets into the trunk, it goes to other branches, and then slowly, like, other parts of the canopy will start to die.
You're seeing this in Huntington County right now. Are you seeing it spread beyond that? Because my follow-up question is going to be here in the Pittsburgh area, Butler County, Allegheny County, the western side of the state. Should we be concerned about this where we are?
Oh, yeah. I have reports that it's in Pittsburgh. I've talked to Forest Health, the DCNR Forest Health person who covers parts of Pittsburgh. It's definitely in Pittsburgh. It's in Center County in the State College area. We see it in most counties. You can find it in most counties, you know, west of the Susquehanna. We're doing a lot of work on the Tyodotten State Forest in partnership with the DCNR. So that's like in the Clinton County kind of area up there. That's Clinton and Lycoma.
Oh, that's okay. Area. Yeah. So is there anything that we can do as homeowners to prevent this, or is that where we lean on you as experts and scientists to try to prevent the spread of this?
Well, actually, there are things that you, like homeowners, can do. The first thing you can do, and this is going to be a pretty easy one, is to not trim oak trees from April 1st to like July 15th. That's when you're most likely to spread the fungus. And so when you trim the tree, what happens is you make a wound on the oak tree, and then we get these sap beetles, which are a native beetle, and they're always around. And I kind of like to imagine them like sharks. You know, they're flying around, they're smelling for sap, and once they smell sap, they'll go right to a tree, and they can find a tree within 20 minutes of a wound forming. Now, some of them, if they come from a tree that was infected with oak wilt, they can carry that fungus with them. And so when they get into a wound, they can infect the new tree. And so that's why we don't want to trim trees April 1st to July 15th-ish, because that's when the fungus is most, that's when those beetles are most active, and those beetles are one of the biggest ways that oak wilt spreads. Number one, don't trim your trees April 1st, June 5th,
okay.
Or July 15th.
July 15th, okay.
And then the second, right, that's like the main way we're going to stop it, or that's the main way you're going to stop it from spreading onto your, you know, in your property. If you got a couple of trees, or if you got a whole forest, I would also recommend, like, you know, maybe if you can delay timber harvesting in that time period, just to, you know, it's a little extreme, but it may be worth it if there's a lot of oak wilt around you.
Okay.
Now, if you get an oak wilt infestation, it's really important that you handle that tree properly and you get it taken care of. So if you have oak wilt, I would recommend that people contact their local DCNR office and ask for advice, or, you know, call an extension person. Call one of their fine forest extension agents, and we can help them handle it. But what we're going to end up doing is we need to take the tree down sometime after October 1st, before April 15th. And that's because the fungus will start to fruit out April 1st, and that's when we get those insects coming in to find the fungus and spread it around.
So if we are seeing leaves that have already dropped from our oak, we can then have that indication that this could be oak wilt because of the leaves, right? You already described how the leaf would be dying from the outside in. When the leaf drops to the ground, is that when we can check it, or should we be looking at our oaks now to look at those leaves?
Well, so now we're getting into kind of that leaf off period. So now is kind of a great time to look for oak wilt, because, you know, the oaks are going to start dropping leaves on their own naturally right now. So what I would really look, when I would look for oak wilt, would be like May through August.
Okay.
Because that's before you're really going to, well, yeah, May through August, because that's, you know, when you're going to have leaves in the tree. Like right now, we're starting to see leaves come off trees. So now's not a great time to look for it, because, you know, your oak might be heavily impacted by this year's drought, and that's why it's dropping its trees. Or sorry, that's why it's dropping its leaves. Now's the best time to look for it. but Lickford May through August.
And this is all good stuff to know, I believe, because we have a lot of ground here in the area and a lot of trees in our area. And if we don't know about this, then we wouldn't even know to look when it comes time.
Yeah.
Let alone know how to deal with this tree or what we need to do with it. Here's my million-dollar question for you, for any tree. We've had debates about this at my house because we have a lot of trees on our property. How can a dead tree still be standing?
Oh, trees are just incredible.
Aren't they?
Just incredible. Oh, yeah.
I mean, there's one dead tree. Calvin, I had to laugh because there was one dead tree. We were trying to clean up an area where some trees came down. And I just leaned on it, and it was a pencil neck kind of tree. And it just went over. You know, so of course we joke that I have such strength, right? But then we have dead trees standing, and we may cut one down, and it takes so much effort to get that thing down, but it's been dead for years.
Oh, yeah. See, that's very common. I mean, trees, you know, wood, especially in Pennsylvania, take a long time to rot. You know, we don't have a particularly moist climate or a particularly hot climate where you're going to get a lot of, you know, decomposition and rotting. And so wood stays strong for a long time, and the root system in our trees stays strong for a long time, too. Because, again, you know, rotting takes a long time here, and so trees are really good at staying upright. And, you know, they're going to just, you know, dang it, they were meant to stay upright, and they're going to stay upright, you know, even when they're dead.
Right.
But it's really great that they stay upright for such a long time because they provide, dead trees provide a home for so many different kinds of animals. You know, you can see raccoons, you can see possums in dead trees, you get pileated woodpeckers who come and eat the insects in dead trees. Dead trees are home to, you know, thousands of different kind of animals and funguses and insects. And it's, so it's really great that they stay upright, unless, you know, it's like right over your house, and then in which case you're like, ooh, I got to take that thing down because that oak comes down, it's going to crush the house.
Right. Do roots connect underground? I saw a graphic one time that showed that trees are connecting to each other. And I asked that just out of curiosity, but two, I asked that because if we're talking about oak wilt disease in particular, can that disease go through the root system?
Oh, that's a great question. That's a great question. So the answer is, to your first question, is some roots do connect underground. And some roots don't. It depends on the tree. It depends on the species. So if we look at oaks, oaks have, again, this is what I like to call it, they have friendly roots that are going along, and they look for other oaks, and they graft to each other, so they join up. I kind of think of it like two friends shaking hands. And so they can use those grafts to share resources. Like if one oak is struggling and the other one is doing really well, sometimes they'll share, like, water or sugar or nutrients back and forth between the two. Now, not all tree species do this. Maples don't really graft. Most pine species don't graft. But oaks love to graft. And oak wilt takes advantage of that to spread to other nearby trees. So what it'll do is it'll get into one tree from, like, an insect infection, and then as the year goes on, it'll slowly work its way down the trunk, and then it can get into those root grafts and move through the root grafts to that oak's buddies, and it'll kill those, and it'll go up from the root grafts into that other oak, and so, you know, that friendly root is going to kill that oak's friend. And so we call that underground transmission. And it's really important to prevent that underground transmission because that's where you get pockets of death. In oak wilt, what's really unique about oak wilt is you'll see one tree infected, and then if it hasn't been caught or hasn't been treated, it'll slowly start to expand outward in almost a circle. It kind of depends on where you are. But if you're in the Midwest, you can almost see like a ring of dead trees that expands outward as oak wilt gets into those grass and moves along.
Interesting. Calvin, Pockets of Death sounds like a movie somehow. It's got to be a title. It's got to be a title, right? Pockets of Death.
Well, so that's one thing that we're experimenting with, and we're trying to improve how we stop that underground spread.
Right.
Right now, how we stop that underground spread is we take what's called a root plow. It's just like basically, like imagine like a 5-foot bar of steel that goes right down into the ground, and you pull it behind a tractor, a dozer, or some kind of piece of heavy equipment, and you break up all those root connections around the pocket, and that's how you prevent underground spread. And so we're trying to figure out some other methods that are faster and cheaper, because, you know, imagine you can't drive a bulldozer on the side of some of our mountains, and so we can't stop the underground spread. And so we're attempting to use herbicides to, you know, do that root disruption and to prevent that underground spread. We've taken this work we're trying this out now with the DCNR, but this work was originally done in Wisconsin, and they're having great success with it in Wisconsin, and so now we're going to try it out here in Pennsylvania.
I find it fascinating. I really do. It's oak wilt disease. Calvin Norman, he's a forester and wildlife educator with Penn State Extension. Where do we go to find out more, or how do we call someone from Penn State Extension if we think we have oak wilt?
Well, so I would point everyone to the Penn State Extension website. We have some great articles up there about oak wilt. We're going to be putting one up really soon that's going to be just a total everything you need to know about oak wilt. We have also some really nice pictures up there to help you look at your leaves and your trees and identify if you have oak wilt, if you don't have oak wilt. Also on the Penn State site, you can find, you know, who your local forest, your local Penn State Extension forester is. But also, we don't cover every county. There aren't a ton of us. So, you know, feel free to reach out to your local DCNR office, and they can usually help you out.
Calvin, it was great to talk to you. Thank you so much for your time.
Oh, thank you. All right, you have a nice day.